Here to talk more about it is totally, definitely not an impersonator, but the actual Ron Johnson. Welcome to the show, Senator.
Chris, it's great to be here with you again. I love that, you know, in your intro that they pronounce your last name, Kristen Bri. You know, because I didn't know how to say it. We call you Kristen Lai, where in my parts in Green Bay and the areas of the Fox Valley. So, it syncs up nicely with that.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bri with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour. And we could not be more excited for our guest that is joining us for this half hour. He's written for Saturday Night Live and Seinfeld and Curb Your Enthusiasm. He wrote The Cat in the Hat, starring Mike Myers, and wrote and directed Eurotrip. And then he was the executive producer, writer, and showrunner on arguably the most accurate political show to ever do it, and won a couple Emmys doing it, Veep. And now has a new show that's starting this month on HBO called The White House Plumbers. Please welcome David Mandel to As Goes Wisconsin. How are you doing today, sir?
Hey, how are you both?
We are great.
We're great. We're so excited to have you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. How are you? What's going on?
Well, you know, we got an election coming up.
What's new in Wisconsin?
I know, right?
Exactly.
People forget, I think, sometimes when they're, you know, I live in California for a long time, and I think a lot of people out there don't think twice about Wisconsin, but there's a lot going on here, especially in politics.
I'm doing a big national media tour, but locally just Wisconsin.
Exactly. We're in the lineup of all the other late night shows pushing this new through the White House Plumbers. But so thank you for making time for us.
Well, thank you for having a Supreme Court election that basically is holding the fate of democracy in its hands. So thank you.
You know, we like to get attention every once in a while, even if it's not always for the best things. So I guess before, because I do want to get into how you ended up.
Anything and everything, sure.
Yes. In Wisconsin politics. But so am I making this up? Or are you from Chicago?
No, you are making that up.
Where
I'm from New York City.
You are from New York City. Okay. I don't know where I saw that then. So from New York, your first break was SNL?
Yeah, I got involved in comedy writing at college. And then when I came out of college, I did a couple of little things at Comedy Central. But my real first job was Saturday Night Live from 92 to 95. So basically the very end of the Dana Carvey, Phil Hartman, Kevin Nealon, those guys, and the rise of Sandler, Farley, Spade, Schneider, those guys. And so right in there. Yeah, it was pretty great time.
So you were just out of college basically? And so you were early 20s?
Yeah, I technically started there. I was still 21 for the first 2 months of work. So
Dave, do you come from a funny family? I mean, is funny part of your family?
They're loud. I don't know. Sometimes that can be funny. I think yes. I think they're actually, everybody's pretty amusing. But I'll say this for myself too. I'm not sure any of us knew this was really a job. You know what I mean? Like it just, I was a TV movie fan. I read things and whatnot. And yet the notion of I'm going to be a writer, and not a lawyer and not a doctor or not all these other things, that was definitely a moment. It helped that I had a job at Saturday Night Live. So when I called my parents, I was able to say, so I'm not really doing that whole college recruiting thing and whatever, but I've got a job. I mean, I have a job at Comedy Central. And then before that ended, I was I have a job at SNL. So they were just okay. But
it's legit. Yeah. It's not your friend's basement, backdoor sketch group that you're promise it's going to lead somewhere.
I'm not sure they ever fully understood it or still understand it, but they at least are aware it's real. So, yeah.
And so when you read your resume, it feels kind of one thing went SNL led to Seinfeld, and then each thing kind of ping ponged into obviously the wild success and all the Emmy awards and nominations for Veep. And so has it kind of, I mean, nothing's ever a straight line, but it feels like you've kind
of... It's not a perfect straight line, and obviously it's a strange mix of, I don't know, I hope this doesn't sound too, you know, braggy. I think I've been able to work on some really, really great television and some not great movies. And so those are sort of the two components of my life, yeah.
And so, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, but no, it was sort of TV for a while, sort of through Seinfeld. And then there was kind of a change in the business, which I won't bore your audience with. And all of a sudden, I was doing more movie stuff. And that was kind of going on for a while. And then kind of got back to TV when Larry was doing Curb Your Enthusiasm. And that obviously was HBO and, you know, whatever that sort of the dawn of prestige television was. And then I kind of stayed there for a bit. There was a little ping ponging, but like kind of was back in TV, and I've kind of been there since to some extent. So yeah.
And so then with Veep, is that because you're now, what part of the reason you're here is because you're invested in Wisconsin politics, despite being from New York, despite not living in Wisconsin. It's also how Julia Louis-Dreyfus ended up sharing one of my videos recently.
Yep.
And so I guess, were you political before Veep, or was it through writing that show?
In the Road Not Taken, I was a government major. I studied American government in college for whatever that is worth, not apparently much. You know, and again, on some path at the time before it was like, I want to be a comedy writer, it's hard to answer it, but I guess I would not have been surprised had I like gone to DC or worked on someone's campaign. Like, I feel like that was sort of vaguely my path that I was thinking about until I realized, no, I want to do, you know, comedy. And so, but even when like at SNL, like the first big thing that I ever wrote where like it was like, whoa, people are seeing it, people are talking about it, was something that I wrote with Al Franken, then not Senator Al Franken, and Jim Downey. But it was in 92, it was Bill Clinton pre-inaugural jogging into the McDonald's and explaining the Somalian warlords using the food on people's trays. But every time the Somalian warlords intercept the shipments, he ate it, and there was, you know, and whatever. When I got to the show, you know, even though like I was you know, relatively a young kid, I was far more interested in writing Bill Clinton sketches, or, you know, at the time Dana Carvey was doing like Ross Perot and, you know, all of that kind of stuff, than I ever was in the, again, great stuff, but I guess, you know, whatever, like the Sandler Farley sort of more age appropriate stuff, I guess, to me.
Yes. Yeah. The goofy off the wall.
Yes. So yeah. I was always into politics, I guess, you know. In my own quiet reading time, I read just a lot of nonfiction, political stuff and historical stuff. That's what I do like. And so I was definitely into it all. Veep sort of ramped it up because all of a sudden it made sense to start subscribing to more newspapers, to start getting some of the various, you know, morning newsletters from like Politico or even like specific the Washington Post, like morning newsletters, you know, some of that kind of stuff to really be on top of like what was going on in DC, because I was looking for stories.
Yeah.
So I was definitely, you know, I was panning for gold, but accidentally I got more involved. So it was sort of a combination of those two things. Yeah. Plus, like, you know, Julia's a bit of a magnet for it, and sort of she was into it, I was into it. It was sort of like those two energies sort of collided. And obviously I can't work on the level that she does in terms of like, you know, getting people, but any chance I have to sort of help her with stuff and, you know, help with, you know, the words and, you know, make it funny and all of that kind of stuff, I figure that's my value. So there you go.
Absolutely. We're talking to David Mandel, who's a writer, director, producer, probably best known for Veep, would you say? But now
these days, but soon to be,
I know,
for directing White House Plumbers. We'll see. We'll see if that happens.
So let's talk a little bit about that show that's coming. It's premiering this month.
It's actually May 1st now. Originally, at some point they had announced March, and then they decided May 1st for whatever their scheduling reasons are. But and I don't even know if people know that, but I saw it in print yesterday, so I'm going to say it, even though it may be a big secret. So there you go, an exclusive.
There we go. Tell us more about the show.
I think it's a really fascinating thing. It's a show about Watergate. And I'll say a couple of things. Number one, obviously there've been in the history of Watergate, there've been shows about it, but this is the first show that kind of ever takes place from the perspective of the guys that actually did the break-in. It's basically about Howard Hunt, Gordon Liddy, and the burglars, the Cuban burglars and whatnot. And it's from their perspective. And so this is not, you know, your sort of typical halls of power, like in the Oval Office, hearing the president, talking and revealing all of that stuff. It's just very much from their perspective, who they were, how they got involved in it, what sort of really happened on this heist, and then the cost of their lives. And the two things that I think are really interesting, one obviously is number one, of course, after Watergate, politics was solved, everything was perfect, and there were never ever any bad people again. So that was good. And we never had a president that was ever sort of looking to overstep or anything like that. It's a reminder of the old days when that kind of stuff could happen. No, it's one of these stories that it strangely seems almost as relevant, as we were working on it. And we sort of got to the second impeachment hearing, it just seemed like it got more relevant. And it's also one of the things I'm fascinated by about it. These guys who basically put themselves on the line for the president and sort of broke the law in the name of the law. They were those really early, I don't know what else to say, true believers. And it's that true believerism that I think is a real curse. Yeah. Sometimes on both sides of politics, but one side in particular that I think a lot about. So, yeah.
And is it a dramedy then? Would you?
I mean, I don't love the word, but it's like funny the way Boogie Nights was sometimes funny, but also sort of. They happen to be. I'll say this. They happen to be funny guys. Yes,
okay, we got to take a break. David Mandel is our guest. When we come back, we'll talk about politics and some Wisconsin sitcom pitches.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Pipes backed up, call a bad mother plumber. When you got a freaky leak and there's a musty stench, that's when I show up at your door with my trusty pipe wrench. I waste no time, I'm on your dime, I'm underneath your sink, and if I catch you checking...
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bright, she is Jane Metnair, and we're playing plumber songs because we have the writer, director, creator of White House Plumbers, which premieres in May on HBO, but also you've seen his work on Veep and Seinfeld and Curb Your Enthusiasm. David Mandel, we're so happy that you're here.
I was trying to figure out why that song was playing. I did not quite piece together that it was a plumber's song, but thank you.
Jane is very good at planting Easter eggs with her bumper music.
I think we missed a real opportunity to use that in our end credits of the show. I'm not sure I can reopen the edit, but I'll talk to HBO.
I am always available for you, David. You need any help.
No, thank you.
Where, you know, Jane's was like, maybe this will be my Hollywood break as far as my ability to add sound effects. Tomorrow
it's gonna be my breakthrough, man.
Exactly.
I can feel it.
And so we have some pitches for you as someone who has spent your career in the entertainment business, pitching shows, probably hearing ideas from other people, And we just want to throw some, you know, potential show ideas past you.
I will happily listen. I will tell you in the history of, you know, because the shows I work on have these, you know, often, you know, especially like Seinfeld and Curb, where people are like, oh, have I got a Seinfeld idea for you? Have I got a Curb idea for you? And what I will tell you, just for the record, most of the time, the idea where they tell me I have the best Curb Your Enthusiasm idea, and then they tell me an idea, it's the worst idea I've ever heard. But then in talking to them, like 10 minutes later, they'll tell me something about their life that they're not pitching me. They'll just tell me about something that's going on. And more often than not, I go, that's the Curb idea. That thing you pitched me, that was garbage, but that's a really funny Curb idea. I'm stealing that from your life, and we're going to use it. But yeah, anyway.
All right.
So. Well, with that in mind.
Keep that in mind. Yeah. There is a lot of, I will warn you now, as a state that really leans into our stereotypes, there's a lot of cheese references in these shows. Because some are crowds, we came up with some are crowdsourced that were pitched to us. So I'll start with, we start with a meet cute between Mary Bell and George on a brewery tour in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, only to find out that they are both heirs to rival sausage empires. Working title, Top Dog.
All right.
Potential.
All
right. Okay.
Potential. All right. Yeah. Well, you can pick your favorite at the end.
Sure.
Rival sausage. I will simply say that I'm liking that part.
Okay.
I'm honing in. Yeah.
Okay. All right, David. The next series centers on the Culver's family. They're the owners of the most popular fast food restaurant chain in Wisconsin, Culver's. Siblings squabble for control over the company amid the domineering force of their patriarch, Craig Culver. It's like Succession meets Good Burger. With the working title, Concessions.
Alternative title, Curd King.
Curd King is another possibility if you want to use that.
All right.
It's a new reality show that's like Crank Yankers, except it's just prank calls to Wisconsin politicians, a la when Scott Walker thought he was talking to one of the Koch brothers. No working title for that one. We just want Robin Voss to get prank called.
I'm going to buy that one right now. I'd like to see that one right now. That's the winner. I'm sorry. I don't even like reality shows, but that one's winning. Sorry.
All right. Well, don't judge too soon, David. Okay. Two neighboring dairy farmers in Wisconsin try to survive the changing landscape of the state's agriculture, pushing the boundaries of traditional family practices and even breaking the law in order to compete with corporate industrial farms. The working title is Breaking Curd.
I'm starting to see some patterns.
There's some patterns. All right, an animated series about the misadventures of a brat, a block of cheddar cheese, and a Schlitz beer as they try to save the state of Wisconsin from external evil forces each week. Working title, Cholesterin Crew.
For kids.
Okay, yeah. All right. Yeah, it's like Aqua Teen Hunger Force vibes.
And then I think finally, a reality show, David, where dairy farmers try to match their best heifers with a prize bull to make the best baby cows. The working title, I don't know how you cannot love this, is Love is a Cattle Field. It just screams.
It just writes
hit.
Itself.
It just screams hit.
All right, you got a winner in that one?
Look, I'm going to be honest. I actually think not necessarily with the Succession parody title, but I think there's something in there. If it was it was honestly about like a restaurant family or something, I would lean that way. I feel like that's a rich area of interesting stuff.
Right.
I'm gonna go there. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So have you been to Wisconsin and eaten at a Culver's?
I haven't. It's so embarrassing. Yeah.
We need to get
It's all just very like weird secondhand knowledge. Yeah.
So you are welcome to visit anytime.
You are more than welcome to visit anytime. We'll take you to Culver's.
You.
But I guess to end with the last couple minutes that we have, I guess just what is the interest in Wisconsin? Because you wrote the mashup last year for the Wis Dems fundraiser that met the West Wing with Veep. And so I guess as an East Coaster, why the interest in Wisconsin?
You know, I think it had to do, obviously, with, I guess, my increased interest in politics in general. I mean, let's start there, which was, you know, for a lot of people, the the Trump election was a wake up call, because mm-hmm. I was certainly somebody that was like, you know, donating some money here and there, occasionally going to some event here in Los Angeles, not particularly paying much attention like everybody else. And of course, like everybody else, oh, he can never win. And, you know, here we sit, still sort of, you know, suffering. That was the wake-up call. And as I got more involved, the two things, number one was I started to realize that one of the things, unfortunately, that Republicans were doing right was their work on the local level. And I think Democrats have come a very long way just even in the last few years. But the constant focus by Democrats, and by the way, you know, everyone always is like, oh, LA, you know, LA and, you know, Hollywood people and whatever. But if all they're doing is just giving money to the person running for president, that doesn't go yeah. anywhere. And it was the realization that so much is happening on just the state level, on the legislature level, on the Secretary of State's, obviously. And this was before anyone even thought people might start thinking that, like, you could overturn an election, but just on a issue by issue basis. And so I started getting more interested. I got to go quickly in local stuff. And when you start getting interested in local stuff, you quickly get to Wisconsin, because everything, all roads go through Wisconsin. And it just seems like everything is on the ballot right now. That's it. As quick as I can go.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Benner. Which version is that?
That is from the movie.
Oh, from what?
The Lion King.
Oh, that's actually from Lion King.
That's from the Lion King. Yeah, the film.
All right.
Yeah, animated one.
There you
yeah.
go. All right. Well, that song can mean only one thing. Jennifer Delberti Shea is back, and we're going to talk about the Milwaukee County Zoo is hiring. You could work at the zoo, which sounds pretty fun for a summer job.
It does. And you know what's so funny is I asked one of our managers about the hiring event. And I said, what is the message you want to get, like, for people that work here? And he's like, we have fun. And I, you know, it sounds kind of like a pat answer, but it's really true. I think when I think back on when I was 16 and 17, you know, there wasn't always the option of working at the zoo. You had to be a Milwaukee County resident, things like that. And so I feel like when I see these kids working here, they really form friendships and bonds with each other. And it is a wonderful place. It's a wonderful setting for people, you know, to have their first job maybe. And you get to see the animals, you get to work outside in a lot of cases. So really, a lot of benefits to working at the zoo.
So what are, I'm assuming that you're not hiring people who actually are working, I think it takes a little more expertise than a summer job to be like working with the monkeys.
Most definitely.
Yeah, the rhinos. Or, I mean, right. Maybe if you're picking up poop, that would be a more appropriate summer job.
Yes, exactly. You don't get to even do that.
Yes.
Like you say, we have positions in the areas of like concessions and merchandise. So those are our gift shops, our restaurants, some of the different food locations throughout the park. They might also work events, which is we have a whole group sales department that helps organizations rent out the zoo. So that is another area. Ticket sellers, ride operators. So you might be someone who takes tickets and works in the train area or the carousel area or the zoo-mobile. So there's really a lot of different niches, I guess you could say, on zoo grounds that, you know, wherever you think you fit best, you can come into these hiring events on the 23rd and the 29th. And then we'll have all of the managers there for walk-in interviews. And they might even hire people on the spot. It depends on the different areas, whether they're able to do that, but that is the possibility.
And so what is, like, from right now in the winter months to being fully staffed in the summer, what is the swing as far as how many people will be working there in the summer versus year round?
Oh gosh, it's probably more than half. So I would say in these like winter months, it's probably 50 to 60 people. And then I believe in the summer we can go as high as 125 to like 130, you know, and those are the seasonal positions. So like you say, we can take people starting anywhere, you know, from April, and then they can work probably through September. And it depends too, because a lot of times we'll get high school students that may be able to stick around with us for a little bit longer. College students, unfortunately, a lot of times they leave us in August, which is a little bit sad for us because then, you know, obviously our levels go down. But people should keep in mind that this is a job, you know, perhaps if you start here in high school, you could work through college. A lot of people here are in college right now and they'll work when they're able to.
And certainly too, Jenny, I would think if anyone is interested in zoology or any of the many offshoots, you know, what a great place to start working, just to talk to some of the, talk to some zoologists, talk to some of the animal caretakers. I think it's just a great opportunity.
Right. And that is a good point. There are several people on grounds now that I'm thinking of who started on in our grounds department, which is horticulture. So they make sure all of the flowers and, you know, ornamental decorations and things like that are all, you know, looking wonderful, which our grounds are just, they get so many compliments. But some of those people, actually, one of them is now a curator here. And one, another one is actually our special events coordinator. So, you know, we don't want to promise that. But like you say, if you're in that environment, and you have a passion for that, you know, I guess you can always have hope that maybe if you stick around, there will be other opportunities available if you want to work with the animals. But again, we don't want to promise that, but the environment certainly lends itself to staying here a long time.
And so, as you said before, do you have to be a Milwaukee resident? Still?
You do not.
Okay,
you do
so
not need to be a Milwaukee County resident. Correct. You do need to be 16 years old. And then, like I say, for the hiring events, that takes place from 10 until 6, both days, the 23rd and the 29th. And that's in our Zufari Center, which is the conference center that's just east of the zoo. And all that information is on our website, milwaukeezoo.org.
Great. We're talking to Jennifer Delberti Shea, who is the Public Relations Communications Director at the Milwaukee County Zoo. And besides the hiring event, there's also Egg Day coming up, right?
Yes. So that's our Easter event, which will take place on April 8th. It's the day before Easter. And we're excited because obviously this is one of the first years that we're kind of back up 100% for the activities. So kids can take part in kind of an Easter egg trail that they're going to pick out some of the Easter eggs that are hidden along this trail. They can also make different crafts like Easter bunny ears, an Easter basket. They can get their face painted. And then a lot of our animals, I'm trying to think how many, probably 6 different areas of animals will get different enrichment items. So those are going to be paper mache eggs that they can, you know, roughhouse with. They can tear apart. And then there'll be different treats for the different species. So the lions will get a certain kind of treat. Prairie dogs would get something else. Pigs would get something else. So that's kind of a neat, like, backdrop that people can enjoy during Egg Day as well.
And it's sponsored by Racine Danish Kringles.
It is.
I love that.
Yeah. Yes. So perfect. And the thing is, they've been a longtime sponsor for us. And so we really appreciate their support. You know, being a county-run institution, we're always looking at our budgets. And we couldn't do some of these events without the sponsor and without our volunteers as well.
You guys have amazing events throughout the course of the year. And I know a couple of years ago, Jenny, you and I were in doing the behind the scenes kind of thing at the zoo where we got to go into the where they fixed the trains. And I'm telling you, if you want to take a job at the zoo this summer, do it. Be a ticket taker at the train.
Oh,
because those little kids are so excited. They are so excited. And it's just such a joyful place.
It is. And like you say, just before you even said joyful, I was like, it is. It's really like so much joy. I mean, throughout the zoo, but like you say, the train, you met some of those, you know, people, some of the engineers and some of the managers over there. And I mean, they just tell me like, well, we get paid to work on trains and to drive trains. It's like, oh my God. Like, I just tell them like, don't let the word out. You know what I mean? Because it's like, they just enjoy what they do. And like you say, it's just a really happy sort of place as well. And we also have people over there that started here, you know, as ticket takers for the train or the carousel. And a couple of them are managers.
Wow.
Now they've made it through high school and college. And, you know, the timing is always, you know, something to, I guess, be aware of, because obviously some of the people that have been here a long time, you know, they do get ready to retire, or they retire, and then these spots kind of open up as well. So we have people here that have been here like 20 years, 30 years, because it's such a great place to work.
That was going to be my next question. I was like, who's been there the longest?
Well, but Jenny, you've been there a long time too.
I have. I'm coming up on my 25th.
Oh, wow.
Anniversary.
Were you always in public relations?
I was.
Okay.
Yes. I got lucky enough to get this job. And my supervisor is one of the longest tenured people here. She's been here almost 35 years.
Wow.
So like you say, when people get in here, they tend not to leave, which is, I guess, a really, it's a great thing, right? Because of course you could always maybe take a job at a for-profit organization, but there's something to, I think, something special. And this, you know, goes to the seasonal people as well, is that you're working for a conservation oriented organization, sustainability, the animals. I mean, it's a really, really good mission and vision that I think people will go that extra mile to work for.
Well, it's just such a hallmark. I mean, I think whenever you have an organization that has people who work there for a very long time,
it's not like it's not like they're trapped there.
Yeah, it's a sign as far as it's a good place to work. Jenny, is there any other, besides Egg Day on April 8th, any other spring events people should put on their calendars?
Sure. Well, Mother's Day, which comes up in May, all mothers are going to receive free admission to the zoo, which is a really nice perk.
Do you have to bring your kids to prove that you're a mother?
You don't. You don't. I know, because it's always a question. We do. We're that nice, right? We just trust them. Yes. So no, you don't. And actually, I probably shouldn't say this, but it's kind of funny. We've had mothers come in that are mothers to be, and they're like, well, I'm pregnant, so can, and we're like, absolutely, go on in. So don't pretend, right? I mean, you have to be truly pregnant. But yeah, so that's a really nice opportunity for free admission for people. And then we also have our summer exhibit, which is going to be Journey to the Ice Age. So it's going to show some of the extinct creatures that were here during the Ice Age. And that starts May 20th. So things like a saber-toothed tiger, a woolly mammoth, some of those animals that were here before we were, they're all reconstructed and they're electronic. They make noises. So that'll be our summer exhibit that people can watch out for as well.
Oh, that's going to be huge.
Well, and are they to scale? Because I think people don't realize how much bigger a woolly mammoth was than an elephant. And elephants are massive. Like, they're my favorite animal. But like, woolly mammoths were like exponentially larger, right?
Right, right. And they have those really super long tusks and whatnot. Yes, yeah, so they're all to scale. They're all, you know, scientifically accurate in terms of the colors and things like that. So we're getting ready. Actually, the animals come in the third week in April, second week in May. They'll be coming in, so people can get ready for that, and it goes all the way until Labor Day.
Oh,
so
nice.
That's for the summer, which is nice. And then, you know, we're hoping obviously our animals like our bears, for example, are waking up now. They were in hibernation, so they've been spotted on exhibit, the grizzlies, the brown bears. They're kind of groggy, but by mid-April, they should all be up, which is kind of fun because we miss them when they're sleeping. and then the prairie dogs, we actually have a new group of prairie dogs that came in late last fall. Six of them. And that's one of the favorite exhibits at the zoo. If people remember, we've had them in the past and now they're here. They have a really nice renovated outdoor exhibit.
Speaking of Mother's Day, are we on baby watch at all at the zoo for anybody?
Oh gosh. Possibly. In the North American area, we might have one of the harbor seals.
Ooh.
Might be pregnant. Yeah, which is very cool. So those are typically born late May, early June. So that would be a nice summer baby. I'm trying to think if there's anybody
baby
else.
Baby seal, very cute.
Yes. And then we're hoping actually to get in another seal as well. So that would be a younger, I believe he's a male coming in. And so that would be for breeding purposes down the road. So we're always, you know, our curators are always, you know, having their eyes and ears open in terms of what animals, you know, we would like to have here. And so they do a wonderful job. So hopefully you'll see some new things this summer as well.
Absolutely. And the circle of life, pour one out for Gordy the groundhog that died recently. But he lived a good life. So, Jenny Delberti, thank you so much for joining us. We'll put all that information on our show notes today. Go work at the zoo. It sounds super fun.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you
so much.
We'll be right back.
Bye. Near the village, the peaceful village, the lion sleeps tonight.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And this show is just
flying
along. It
really is.
Well, we're very excited. I'm still polishing because we had a lot of people submit
some great ideas,
some very good, very creative ideas for shows. And part of some of the creativity, a lot of them are, you know, inspired by other shows, but that's Hollywood,
fine.
Right? Everyone's always stealing other people's ideas.
When are there new ideas? Come on, you got to redo everything 14 times.
Yes, and so we are. At the top of the hour, before David Mandel gets here, I got to polish some of these up because when he first joins at 106, we're definitely going to talk to him about his career, how he broke in, because I'm pretty sure he's from the Midwest. I think he's from Chicago.
Oh wow!
And so you know how a Chicago kid breaks into SNL. And of what that actually looks like. So, like, that's everyone's dream, but not everyone gets to fulfill that dream.
He's been quite accomplished.
He is quite accomplished. Emmy Award winner.
Seinfeld.
Curb Your Enthusiasm. Veep.
I mean, the list goes on.
And we have the trailer that we'll play when he's on for his new HBO show, The White House Plumbers, which is based off, like, Watergate.
Yeah.
And so that I'm excited. I think it premieres. I don't know if it's premiered yet. It premieres in March. So it's probably within the next week.
I have a special song for him.
Oh, I'm a little nervous because Greg yesterday, did he say this on air or at commercial when he was like, just know that funny people don't always laugh. Like they'll think it's funny, but they're thinking about why it's funny versus giving you a generous laugh.
Instead of just enjoying it.
Yeah. See, you're a generous laugher, which is why we get along so well. Because you laugh at my jokes very, like that.
Readily.
Readily.
Readily. But you do the same for
me.
And
I do the same for you. Yeah. And so,
We'll take Dave on. We'll see what kind of a chuckle meister he is in life.
But yeah, so stay tuned for that. That's going to be super fun. And we're like, are you nervous? You've interviewed celebrities before.
I have. But it's always different when it's someone that you would really admire, you know.
Whose work you're like, you've done some really cool things.
He's done some really amazing things that I wish I could do.
Yeah.
We'll be fine.
We'll be fine.
It's going to be fine.
All right. So in the meantime, we're going to play the very fun game of three headlines and a lie. Three of these headlines are real. One is fake. Jane, you get to pick out which one is fake. All right. They escaped from jail using a toothbrush. Then they were captured at IHOP.
They broke out of jail using a toothbrush, and then they got busted at breakfast.
Yes.
Essentially.
Yeah. Okay. So that's number one.
All right.
Number two, electric scooter startup will use AI to detect how scared you are while riding.
Artificial intelligence?
Well, have you ever ridden like a bird scooter or any of those?
I have not. I have not scootered.
All right. Well, they can be, depending on, especially if you're riding, because in most places, those scooters, you can't ride on the sidewalk.
Right.
Like, I don't know if I've ridden, because they keep getting banned and then unbanned in Milwaukee. But when I lived in LA, we had them. And I once was riding it on the street, like you're supposed to, not on the sidewalk, because there's pedestrians on the sidewalk. It's like how you can't ride your bike on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And zooming along La Cienega in Los Angeles. And at the last minute, I saw that I was about to hit probably a foot in diameter pothole.
Oh, my.
And I just dumped the scooter and jumped off because I would have just gone flying. Because you go.
Yeah, those things can
15
move.
15 miles per hour? Those, yeah. Like, you're moving.
Yeah. And gosh, riding one of those in L.A. just sounds like a death wish.
And, you know, no one's wearing a helmet. And so headline number two, electric scooter startup will use AI to detect how scared you are while riding.
All right.
Number three, two U.S. mothers sue hospitals over drug tests after eating poppy seed bagels.
That's not outside the realm of possibility that things like this have happened.
Things like this have happened because poppy seeds obviously
contain something.
Yeah. I think they're connected to heroin.
Poppies. Like, sure.
Yeah, poppies. Yep,
that would make sense.
MSCHF made a free dating simulator that can prepare your federal taxes. MSCHF's free dating simulator that can prepare your taxes. So that's number four. Which of those? You want me to read them again?
Yes.
Number one, these are all headlines, and we're picking out which one's not real. They escaped from jail using a toothbrush, then were captured at IHOP.
Okay.
Number two, electric scooter startup will use AI to detect how scared you are while riding.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, two U.S. mothers sue hospitals over drug tests after eating poppy seed bagels. And number four, MSCHF made a free dating simulator that can prepare your federal taxes.
Okay, I know the first one is true.
Oh, you do? Okay. Why, you read this?
It came up across my Twitter feed or something. So the guys did escape from prison using a toothbrush and something else, and then they got busted at an IHOP, like, right down the road. Well done,
well
guys.
Well done.
So that I know is true.
Okay.
The AI and the scooter fear, I can see someone wanting to know that.
Okay.
The poppy seeds, I also know that this has happened. And then the last one is the AI, which I also believe to be true.
Which one are you picking?
I'll go with the poppy seeds.
No, that one's real.
That is real.
Yeah. So New Jersey mothers allege hospitals performed tests without consent and say poppy seeds were the reason for false positive results.
So which one was the lie?
The scooter one.
Was it?
Yeah.
Come on, you guys. Somebody has to want to know that. There's got to be a... Let's get a grant, Kristen, and we'll study it ourselves.
Because what does that give you if you know how scared you are while you're riding a scooter? Is that indicate that you probably should not be riding that scooter? You're like, you're a 10 right now. Maybe get off.
Maybe this is not for you.
All right. Well, that one was fake, but yes. So MSCHF's, I have to be honest, I don't even know what that stands for. So if you still haven't filed your taxes, MSCHF's free dating simulator that's launching soon might be able to help. The Art Collective, their latest stunt in Tax Haven 3000, a visual novel dating game that actually prepares your 2022 U.S. federal tax return, according to the game's now removed Steam page. This is like gibberish. I have no idea what we're talking about, but it's real.
So it's some kind of dating game that as you play it ostensibly fixes your text.
Yeah, like the pictures is like an anime character talking to you. Do you know what this is?
No, but it sounds like a really good way to steal your personal information, you bunch of morons.
That's true.
Don't do that.
That's true. All right, well, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news, and when we come back, David Mandel will be here. We're going to talk about his career and politics and pitch him some Wisconsin TV shows and see which ones he thinks could actually get greenlit. So this is As Goes Wisconsin. Come back in a minute.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.